when the Celtics were able to turn their offense up to a level that even the best defense in the NBA over the last 2 months could not handle. For 10 days, it's been Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. But there's two ends to the floor, and the Celtics exploited all of the minutes that both Dallas superstars were on the floor.
Sean Grandy on Celtics Radio. Welcome to the show. It was emphatic. The Boston Celtics take game one of the NBA Finals. Good morning, Perloff. How you doing?
I disagree with Sean Grandy there. Wait, that wasn't about exploiting Luka and Kyrie. That was about Boston hitting all their threes, and that ain't happening for four straight games, Maggie. So do not give up on this series. Don't quit on this series on me.
I feel very good because I picked the Celtics in this series, and I liked what I saw. Now, it kind of went true to form. The Celtics have been great in game ones, and Mavericks haven't been as good in game ones. But I'll tell you exactly what I loved about this game last night from the Boston perspective. They have a 29-point lead, right? Mm-hmm. In the third quarter, Dallas goes on a run, cuts the lead to 8 after a big Luka 3. And you can see the crowd getting a little bit nervous. Joe Mazzulla calls a timeout, something that he had failed to do in seasons past with about 4.5 minutes left to go in the third quarter. And what happened after that? It was Jaylen Brown came up with three big defensive plays. One, breaking up a lob to Derrick Jones Jr., then Brown denying Derrick Jones Jr. again. Then he blocks Kyrie on the next possession. The Celtics turned that defense into offense and closed the third quarter on a 14-2 run. They never looked back after that. They withstood the run from Dallas when things looked like they were getting tight. And the Celtics didn't get tight. They were loose. They were loose at home. This is the best you could ask for. And then on top of it, Kristaps Porzingis was an emphatic cherry on top.
Yeah, no, honestly, the fact that Porzingis came out and started shooting like that, that was, to me, the significant aspect of the game.
Yeah, and off the bench.
And guess what? That's not going to happen every game. You're not going to survive a 16-point Jason Tatum game every game. You're not going to have Sam Hauser draining long shots game after game. So I think the Celtics hit 7 threes in the first quarter. That was another key to the game.
Yep.
I can see that. I'm not sure that's sustainable. That little run by the Mavericks taught me a couple things. Like, Luka still, even though Luka was grimacing in pain and had no assists last night, he still is the best player on that court. There's going to be a tie turning in this series at some point. I think it's going to be a series.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be like last night where the Celtics just blow them out like they did to everybody in the East.
Yeah, I think the question is, do you feel like this series is over? Not that it's going to be a sweep necessarily, but do the Celtics just, are they overpowering and overwhelming the Dallas Mavericks? The Mavericks, who kind of feel like that first half, they really were like still in Texas. Like, hey guys, the series started. Wake up a little
bit. Oh my God, they look so weird and just out of sync.
And I'm going to disagree with you on Luka because I think the Celtics are saying all the right things. Like, hey, he scored 30 points. We really have to be, you know, even better on Luka. I think they will take that game. Obviously they won it, but they'll take that style of game from Luka every single night in the series. All the bad habits that you had talked about with Luka questioning whether he's a winning player, saw those for the most part last night, which was so much ISO ball. The Celtics did a great job cutting off all of his passing lanes. You mentioned one assist and 30 points. Like, okay, fine. That's not going to beat the Boston Celtics. Luka scoring 30 in an inefficient way is not going to beat the Boston Celtics.
Well, I mean, you think he had more ISO ball than he did against the T-Wolves? Same exact offense.
Well, he was able to find more guys, and the ball moved a lot more last night. It was black hole Luka again.
I think it was the same Luka. It's just the Celtics were able just to match him more. They were able to cover him a little better. But I thought Luka saw something in the second half. He's like, what was the great? They was trying to get Derek White, and he was trying to get a big guy on him. And Boston, to their credit, was staying 1-on-1, which Minnesota never did. Minnesota just lazily switched Rudy Gobert on him every time. But I think Boston watched the tape and said, we're not going to give him the switch that he wants. But I think that the kid, Jason Kidd, the coach, has some adjustments. I think they're going to free up some space. There was nowhere for Luka to go. It wasn't, maybe I'm an apologist. There was nowhere for Luka to pass because the Celtics had the right defense on the court.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown. He was great. And also, I think Porzingis sort of clogging the paint. Al Horford actually doing a good job, too, in the paint. I mean, they did all the things that the Mavs, like, really hate, which is, again, getting in the passing lane, no lobs, which is a huge part of Dallas and getting it to the front court. You had Lively in foul trouble before he was able to score a point. No corner threes from the Mavs. I mean, all the things that we saw and when the Mavs are going great, they weren't able to do any of it last.
Well, they took corner threes. They just didn't hit them. So PJ Washington 0-for-3 from 3-point. He'll probably start get hot at one point. And Kyrie couldn't hit a shot.
Yeah, he was bad.
But you know what though? He couldn't hit a shot, but a lot of his shots were close. They weren't like they kind of rolled in and out. Do you feel like he's going to be cold that whole time? I think there's another.
Did you hear what Kyrie said after the game?
No, what did he say?
He said he thought the crowd would be louder.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Yeah. But he, I mean, 0-for-5 from three, but they weren't terrible misses. Honestly, I think that Dallas was just so rusty. It was crazy. I mean, they were missing. Luke had missed a wide open three. I think it was in the third quarter where they just lost him. And I was thinking to myself, that's going to go in, and Boston threes are not going to go in. To me, 3-point shooting and KP were the huge differences here. Because Tatum was a little sloppy, and Jaylen Brown was good on offense, but not dominant. I think there's a lane here. I think the series is not over.
Let's hear from Kristaps Porzingis, because again, this was a major moment in the game last night. He comes off the bench, and as soon as he got into the game, it was like fresh legs. He was ready to go. He could not miss. He says he'll do anything to win.
From day one, I came here and I said, like, I'll do whatever it takes to help this team win, right? And I think it was this situation, you know, it made sense. And I didn't care. I didn't care. I knew I could prepare to come off the bench, which is something different for me. And that's what I did, and stepped into that role and embraced it and had a good game.
8-for-13, 2-for-4 from three. He had the three blocks. So between him and Horford, 5 blocks between the two of them. And he only had to play 20 minutes, which is nice because when you're coming back from an injury and he looked great, he didn't have to play 30 minutes. You know, you can manage it a little bit just because the game was a blowout.
I was shocked. Those blocks, I was like, oh my God, why didn't they call the foul? Then you saw him in slow-mo. They were clean blocks. And the fact that, by the way, notice there was no talk about officiating. Like, the officials were on fire last night. They seemed to get everything right. I don't know what's going on there.
Wow, praise for the officials for call-off.
I mean,
Pete,
honestly,
are you hearing this? Mark this down.
Well, there was one crazy, they called a charge where Luka was clearly moving, but whatever. They were on top of it. I just wonder, too, again, I'm going to make my case for the Mavs still being in the series. That is a little bit like, get that many clean blocks in one game. I don't know. It feels like Jaylen Brown all of a sudden looked like Dikembe Mutombo. And at a certain point, like, I wonder if Dallas keeps being aggressive going to the hole, they're going to get fouls on those. So, again, I'm convincing myself this series is not over. I mean, Jaylen Brown, where did that defense come from? It wasn't normal Jaylen Brown defense. He was 3 feet over the rim swatting balls like Akeem in 95.
I think this is, you know, we talked about this yesterday, and we even put it up as a poll question, and you and I disagreed. What's more likely to be the difference maker in this series? Was it the Dallas Mavericks having the best player in the series, which is Luka, or was it the Celtics' experience? And I don't know how the rest of the series is going to go, but last night, game one played right into my hands in terms of experience, because Jaylen Brown said after last season when they had that terrible loss to the Miami Heat, Tatum gets hurt in a game 7. Brown's supposed to take him home. He can't do it. And he said, I have to be better defensively. This was like his whole mantra for this entire season. And he did it. Joe Mazzulla never called timeouts. He did it. Boston able to withstand a run by the opponent at home, not get lazy with the basketball, start turning things over. They did it. This is score one in the column of experience, and it played out last night that way for Boston.
And the experience of Kristaps Porzingis having a guy draped all over him and hitting a 20-foot shot, what experience was there for that?
Well, he's never played in a finals game before.
The experience of Sam Hauser just all of a sudden turning into Klay Thompson, there was experience there?
It was experience helped. Experience helped yesterday.
Which do you think was a bigger factor? I don't know if this poll makes any sense. Kristaps Porzingis showing up and getting red hot, or experience?
Both. Both.
I don't know. I feel like
solid,
you're
both.
I didn't watch last night's game and be like, wow, Boston's really. First of all, Boston was actually rusty too. They were just hitting their shots. Tatum did have 6 turnovers. Jaylen Brown had a couple bad turnovers too. As great as they are, man, they are sloppy. And I kind of love it. The thing about Ed Tatum, what did you think about Tatum's performance? Because he really didn't score much. And he was, to his credit, rebounding like crazy. I couldn't believe that they stuck him on a big guy.
Yep.
And the fear was that he would get out-rebounded. But he focused on rebounding, didn't take many shots. Doris Burke kept saying, I'm really impressed by how patient he is. And I was watching, I'm like, okay, but you're a star. You got to assert your scoring, but it worked.
No, and Tatum has been double digits rebounding basically like this whole playoffs. But again, we completely discounted all the Celtics' run to this point because of who they played. Let's hear from Tatum, Pete, can we, on holding off the Mavs' comeback last night.
Yeah, that's part of it. They're going to make shots. That's a really good team over there. And we just did a great job of responding in real time after Joe called that timeout. They cut it to 8. You know, we came to the bench and talked about it, executed, made plays, and took the lead back up.
Experience there from Jason Tatum. So that's it. Game one, the victor, the Boston Celtics. If you want to weigh in on this, 855-212-4227. I'm feeling very good about my Celtics pick. I never gave you a game, though. I'm going to go Celtics.
When did you make this
seven,
Celtics pick?
Yesterday.
When you half-heartedly made the pick.
I definitely want to hear
that pick.
Because you told me you bet the Mavs like the moment the buzzer went final series against Minnesota.
Yeah. No, I said the Mavs in 6.
I'm
going to
go
2 weeks ago.
Celtics in 7. I said Celtics yesterday. I never gave you a game, so I'll give you 7. I think the Mavs are going to be heard from in this series.
Okay. Well, after what you're talking this morning, I would have thought maybe 5 for you. But okay, I like 7.
Yeah. I mean, they look very good. Very good last night. Is it real? Or do you think it was just, I don't know, the Mavs a little, what do you call it? Nerves, jitters, getting exposed a bit by Boston?
I think they missed their threes. I think Lively got in foul trouble. I think they'll figure out a defense. I mean, there were a bunch of, they did get Horford out on space a lot. And Kyrie didn't hit his shots. I don't think that's a formula that's going to continue. I think Kyrie's going to hit some shots, right? Like, Kyrie's actually going to score 12 points every game. Or is he? Because he did the second round.
I was going to say, it wasn't a big scoring series for him against OKC.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Minnesota didn't look at that tape.
Yeah, but I don't know what Minnesota was looking at. But Kyrie, again, he missed a lot of shots, but they weren't far off. That's what I say to myself when I'm out there on Saturday morning. Yeah, I can't hit anything, but you know, it's hitting the rim.
Yeah, good. How about the vibes? Also good. That's like, you know.
Oh, vibes are always good with me. I'm a team first guy. Honestly, the funny thing about Kyrie, his vibes were pretty good last night. Like he wasn't, you know, we had Chad Finn from the Boston Globe on yesterday, and he said, I wonder if adversity hits, will Kyrie revert to bad behavior? Kyrie was at least dapping up his teammates and saying, you know, I just passed it to you and it hit off your hands and went out of bounds. But it's cool. Kyrie's still on his best behavior.
He is. Let's hear a little from Kyrie first. Can we hear about his bad game? He was very self-aware.
I felt like I had a lot of great looks. They hit back rim or, you know, they were just a little left or right. So I just got to stay confident and stay poised throughout this, man. This is the best time of the year to be playing. It's only 2 teams left. Let's put it in perspective.
Yeah, I mean, he's a saint. What a calm, mature basketball player.
Also, Kyrie, so this is a little bit of the, I perceived as trash talk. I mean, if I was in Boston, I would take this as trash talk. He expected the fans to be louder booing him.
I thought it was going to be a little louder in here, but I'm expecting the same things going into game 2. Crowd trying to get me out of my element, my teammates out of my element. But again, the energy's got to be focused towards the game.
That's a challenge. That's a challenge, Boston fans. Are you going to be louder?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the game wasn't close enough. They didn't need to.
Yeah, I know. What are you going to do? Start jeering a guy when you're up 29?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was some of that. You heard a little bit of it. But, yeah, it didn't feel like they needed to come after Kyrie last night. It is amazing. Like, he's definitely still on his best behavior. If you watch him closely, like, okay, he know. And Luka was also on his best behavior. He was not complaining as much as usual.
I noticed.
And he was supportive of his teammates when a pass would go off their hands. So... that's why I think this series. I like your pick, by the way. If I could, I like that Celtics in 7. Like, it's going to be a series, right? We're not going like Pacers 5 games.
I don't think so. But another, how you know that Kyrie's still on his best behavior. Did you see at one point he's saving a ball out of bounds and he goes flying into the stands, right? Like, into the third row. And he like stopped for a second, even while the ball was still live. He had actually saved the ball. Play continued on the court and he like made sure everyone was okay.
yeah.
Usually you're just trying to like, all right, get off me. I need to get back on the court. And he was like, everyone all right?
Yeah, a year and a half ago, Kyrie would have had all those fans kicked out of the arena.
If you want to get involved in the show, come on in, 855-212-4227. You can watch the show, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, where Phil says, oh, look, somebody opened the vault and got one of those rare Maggie and Perloff t-shirts. Pearl representing the brand today.
Well,
I love it.
I mean, maybe we should print up some more and sell them. Or give them to loyal members of the chat. Because you guys deserve them too. Wait, are they rare?
What a business
model. I feel like there are a lot of them out there in the world.
You know, the first batch really went off like gangbusters.
Yeah, because we mistakenly gave away free ones to the media.
To our friends, I know.
Yeah, like certain beat reporters took three or four.
It's fun when you see one in the wild, you know?
Yeah. Maybe we should print up some more.
They're a cool shirt.
Yeah. I like the style. I feel like a lot of people, how would you describe this? Sort of a 70s rock band vibe?
Miami Vice.
Yeah, I always thought it was more Miami Vice. I think the black one, Soproloff's wearing the white varietal today. I think the black one looks a little more Miami Vice.
You're wearing like the Miami Heat City Connect jerseys for the last 5 years.
Right, which those give me vertigo, but this shirt doesn't. So there you go.
Do you know the fades.
Looks like you're on, like descending into some kind of gummy trip. Yes,
I saw. There's also. I think there's a band like Triumph from the 70s that people wear their t-shirts a lot. It's got a little. They have a t-shirt that looks a little bit like the black.
Yes.
So it's like I understand the Miami Vice thing. It also could be sort of like a motorcycle gang thing, like the lamest motorcycle gang of all time.
Imagine we show up in the motorcycle gang.
Wow. Oh, my God.
They drive us off the road.
More like a moped gang.
Bicycles. Yeah. It's more speed. We're not really Harley people, right? I'll speak tandem. For myself. I'm not a Harley person.
A tandem bicycle. With or tricycles.
Yeah.
Tricycles.
We're not
curl
really.
Curl up on a tricycle. It looks like
The Shining. The
kid. Pete, can you cut that? We're not really Harley people. Yeah,
but unless Harley would like to come on as a sponsor of the show, then we could become Harley people very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Leather jackets, tattoos, the whole thing.
We're like Harley people that terrible. Remember when John Travolta was in a movie called Wild Hogs about a bunch of men who had a middle-aged crisis and went on a motorcycle trip cross-country? That's the kind of Harley people we would be.
I have ridden on a couple motorcycles.
Oh, yeah, me too, in college. It was terrifying.
It's really scary. It's not my thing. Give me four doors, a four-door sedan, something real safe. 855-212-4227. Okay, so there you go. The finals. We still have more details, shockingly more details, on Dan Hurley and the Lakers' pursuit of the UConn head coach. We bring you up to speed on all the latest next.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. There's still so many angles. More angles, I think, on the Lakers reportedly pursuing UConn coach Dan Hurley than the actual NBA Finals.
Especially after the blowout last
year. Yeah. I think some people who enjoy breaking down the 14 different theories of what is actually happening with the Lakers were probably excited that last night's game was a blowout, so we could all focus on where, who's pulling the strings. Is it LeBron? Is it, who knew what? Magic Johnson sends out a obvious tweet. I am so excited that UConn coach Dan Hurley is in the mix. So wait, did you know anything? Have you been preparing this week? God, there could be a 30 for 30 on this hire. And I know, Maggie, you'd be all in.
I want to be a talking head in that documentary. I want to be like, I was on the air when this news broke and all of our heads collectively exploded yesterday. And even more as it sinks in, what's funny to me about this story is it's a huge story and it'd be huge on its own. But it feels like there's a very concerted effort here to somehow remove LeBron James from the hiring of Dan Hurley. And that's what I don't understand. And this is very in line with LeBron because we clown him about this, but I think it's revealing about his character. LeBron has, for all of his good qualities and all of his great qualities, a great player. He has this thing where when he gets caught in a lie, he will continue to double down on the lie on the most silly things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has clearly not seen The Godfather, yet he will continue to keep up the charade that he has seen this movie and it's stupid. He claims that he knew Kobe was going to score 81 before he did it against the Raptors. Mm-hmm. That's just patently false. And more things. And it's just funny to me now that more reporters are getting a hold of this. It was Woj who broke the story, but now everyone is getting their nuances in. This is from The Athletic. It's unclear how Los Angeles' stars feel about the potential of Hurley as the team's coach. Anthony Davis's input has been at the center of the Lakers' search, and he has a solid rapport with James Borrego, someone else. Like, why are we keeping up this fantasy that Anthony Davis is at the middle of this when it's not true? LeBron has to be at the center of this. It's silly to think anything else.
Well, I mean, it's consistent. They said Anthony Davis got Darvin Ham fired too, right?
Which, again, is also silly. Wow. You think if LeBron James really wanted Darvin Ham to be the head coach and Anthony Davis didn't, who do you think's the head coach today?
So It's almost like nothing they can say is going to convince you. You are so positive this is how it goes down. LeBron is pulling all this. This is all LeBron's decisions.
Okay, so I think yes, but also someone else has entered the conversation. You brought it up yesterday, maybe bogus. It was mentioned yesterday, but I don't think I understood the depths to which Mike Krzyzewski is also involved in this. And it's clear because Dan Hurley has a really, and the Hurley family has this deep connection with Coach K, going back to Bobby.
Yeah.
But he also has ties to Redick, J.J. Redick, who also was a at one point maybe a front runner for this job, although that seems like now that was all BS.
Well, how do you know that?
Well, because if you're zeroing in on J.J. Redick on Monday.
No, but I'm just saying, how do we know that maybe they really did want J.J. Redick at one point? That's my point. Like,
I know, but
you're making a lot of assumptions. We have no idea what happened. We have no idea what LeBron's role was, what Coach K's role was, and we're just left to guess.
Okay, but then why did Woj say that Dan Hurley's been the prize from the very beginning? Again, we're getting lied to here, people. America, we got to wake up. Everyone's got agendas on this thing, and we're all a bunch of sheep because...
She's gone, Perla. We've lost her. You've lost her.
Were we all not together yesterday when Woj said Dan Hurley has been, like, from the beginning of the search, Dan Hurley's been at the center of it when none of us had heard that before?
And I think that same Athletic article you just read from said only last week did Hurley's name come up. So, like,
conflicting.
So what's funny to me is that, at least to me, the way I read things, Woj and Shams are confirming that they have not been doing their jobs well while reporting in the last 25 hours about this story.
Yeah. Like getting intentionally lied to.
Nobody knew that Dan Hurley was involved. They have different timelines for Hurley. Redick is a viable candidate. He's not a viable candidate. They have bad sources, limited sources. They're all being used. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Big Pharma. Let's get some Aaron Rodgers. I'm co-hosting a show with Aaron Rodgers now. We're all being lied to, people. First of all.
Wake up.
Yeah, I mean, who cares who the Lakers hire and fire in 3 years? And it's all going to be a disaster anyway. I feel like we're wasting a lot of energy to get to the bottom of this.
Well,
first of all, but it does make
it. It's a seismic shift here. It's a change.
Is it a seismic shift?
I think so, because I think it's both coasts and it's both sports. Pro sports. Yeah. It's college sports. It's UConn, which is, I know you don't believe they're a blue blood. They've won 6 national titles. They're the back-to-back champions. Coach K is involved. LeBron, Anthony Davis are involved. There's a Bronny angle here.
Rich Paul,
CIA.
Adele,
yeah.
Shams, Kay Adams, Woj, bringing Schefter's name.
I mean, he was tweeting about it yesterday. He was co-tweeting Woj tweets.
Schefter and Woj are partners in this.
Are they the same person?
Yeah, this circus.
Have you ever seen them together?
I have. Anyway.
Some kind of insider scandal where they're freezing out Shams like Isaiah did to Michael Jordan at the All-Star game.
But there is also reason to think, like, okay, this experiment is not going to work because none of the LeBron's coaches have lasted more than 2 years. And LeBron's got to retire at some point. And just get to the big part of this. Just the part that fascinates you the most. Just say it.
The fact that the Hurleys are on a plane right now to L.A.?
Nope. Why are they on a plane to L.A., in your opinion, Maggie Gray? Be honest.
Bronny?
Why? Yes.
I've said it. This whole thing is about Bronny. I'm open about about Bronny. And in some ways, I feel like LeBron's just this, it's awesome. You're a great dad. You're giving your kid the best college coach in America because for some reason, Bronny is not allowed to continue to play college basketball for a reason that is beyond all of our comprehensions.
Well, that just get him to the NBA now while LeBron's still active. That's got to be the reason, right?
And that only serves LeBron. And so
Bronny.
He's trying to split the baby here and say, I want my kid in the NBA to fulfill a dream I have, but I realize he needs a lot of development. So let me try to get the best college coach and the best developmental coach I can get to try to hold his hand and help him along.
Well, first of all, but this is not just about LeBron, because if LeBron's out of the league, then Bronny's not coming to the NBA. Like, this is the only chance to get it. If I could gift one of my kids a professional contract, I would give him that. So, sure. I mean, there's a good chance if LeBron retires, Bronny's not getting drafted. Is he scored 4 points a game at USC? Wasn't even a good team last year.
Oh, you're right. No, Bronny would still be in college, but
and never get drafted, probably.
Probably never.
Because he's not tall enough, really, to be what he is.
Unless LeBron buys a franchise like he's planning to do, or the expansion team in Las Vegas, whenever that comes, and LeBron wants to be a part of it, and then he drafts his son.
That's okay.
But I don't think he can get the arena built
in
time.
Yeah.
Although you can play college sports now until you're 30, so Bronny would have a few more years.
Yeah, that's true. LeBron still has eligibility. So here's the problem is, like, is this any of this going to work? And Dan Hurley, we're excited about it now, but we know the college coaches transitioning to the NBA is tough. Mm-hmm. It's failed with a lot of great coaches. We know that LeBron is 40 and he doesn't have that much time left. And we know that Bronny James is not going to lead a team anywhere. So this is a messy situation, even with all this. I like that you're focusing on all the behind the scenes stuff, because the reality is, like, that might be the best part of this whole thing, because I honestly don't think it's going to work.
Also, we don't have games for months. What else?
Not
do we
that
have?
Long. I mean, we're basically 3 weeks away from the preseason, because the finals go so long, because they took a month off from the Eastern Conference Finals.
I know. Helped Porzingis last night. Everything helped the Celtics last night. Okay, so that's a little update. Danny Hurley, his wife, his agent. Also, thank you for that nugget, Woj. Let's do a couple more favors for people on national TV. All flying to LA today to meet with Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka, which is also a little funny, because do we get this far down the road on this thing where Woj has a thousand word article and zeroing in to give him this long extension? You guys haven't met in person? It's California. It's not the Philippines. Why is this so hard to do?
I don't know. I have one more
thing. I once went to California and back in 48 hours. I mean, it sucked, but I did it.
Do you think there's any chance that Pelinka was so upset about JJ Redick being the front runner, because he's the podcast partner of LeBron, that he's hiring this guy just to say this is not LeBron's hire? Because JJ Redick got the job. That was LeBron. That is 100% LeBron. I mean, LeBron already does a podcast with him, so that's LeBron's guy. Maybe this is actually, you don't believe this.
No.
Maybe this is a Lakers front office asserting their own power.
When have they ever done that amongst a superstar?
They've been sort of hinting that we want to take this thing back for a long. They've been saying that.
From who?
From LeBron. Like, honestly,
why are they offering to draft his son?
Because I don't think it's as important as you think it is.
What?
To use the 55th pick on Bronny.
I think they need to draft his son, because otherwise LeBron will go somewhere else.
That's what I'm saying. Why are they giving in to his demands if they actually don't give a crap?
Because he's still a good enough player.
They need him on the team, but they're not going to let him control. Well, maybe they are, but I think that there's got to be a sort of idea there. Let's not let LeBron control this whole thing. He's going to be gone in a year. We got to take control of this team back.
Listen, I got a newsflash for everybody. Whether it was J.J. Redick or whether it's Dan Hurley, they're all LeBron's hires. Whether it checks still multiple boxes and it can serve multiple masters and it could work and Dan Hurley could be good for now and for the future, an eventual rebuild or whatever, that just might be the stars aligning. Make no mistake, both hires are LeBron hires.
Have we
not been watching basketball, guys, since the player empowerment era began and LeBron ushered it in?
You say that so confidently, but how on earth do you know that? Like,
because
there's no
LeBron
way. You're not there.
If LeBron, because I've been watching him closely for the last 20 years, he's given us all this history. If LeBron is going to lose a power struggle over who the coach is going to be, he'll leave, which is what he did in Miami. When Eric Spoelstra had more power and had the backing of Pat Riley, LeBron clowned them all and went back to Cleveland.
Yeah,
he'll
but he's
just
not
leave.
But he's not. He's 40 years old now. It's not the same LeBron. LeBron would have been old. LeBron would have been long gone from LA. The old pattern was just to leave. He's sticking around because his production company's out there and are going to draft his son. I don't think this is the same situation as back then.
If he wanted to be on the Sixers tomorrow, he'd be on the Sixers. And you know that's true. He still has...
No, he wants to be in LA. Why would he leave LA to go to the Sixers?
No, no.
That would make no sense.
We're talking about power.
No, we're talking about location. That's a geography situation.
No. I'm talking about power. That's what I want to talk about. Because you're saying LeBron might not actually have say over this coaching search and coaching hire. And I think that's patently silly, because he still has power over this organization because he has a market. And if he wanted to leave, the Lakers want him to stay. And if he wanted to go, he would be able to find multiple suitors.
Right.
That's power.
So they're just, yes, of course he has power, but it's not, that doesn't guarantee he's making this decision. The way you're saying it is LeBron sat there in a room and said, I want Dan Hurley.
Yes.
Get Dan Hurley.
And switch. You're also saying that he switched plans in the middle of this, that he wanted J.J. Redick and went, I should probably think about Bronny's future. Never mind, let me get Dan Hurley.
The more I think about it, I think J.J. was getting used.
By LeBron.
For what purpose?
Smoke screen. Try to throw the scent off the media while they got the Dan Hurley thing
done.
Well,
we'll be able to tell when he drinks, if they drink any more wine together.
Yeah. Does the podcast continue is another fun layer
right.
to this.
But what you're saying is LeBron was the one who invented this whole JJ thing as a narrative.
Probably.
But I feel like Hurley is more of a coach for the future for the Lakers.
Yeah, big time.
He's a developmental coach, sure. So I don't see how LeBron would care for Hurley in the now.
Because he wants Bronny to get the seasoning.
But if he's going to retire in 2 to 3 years after Bronny's in the league, does he really care that much about his son?
Yeah, I think he's hoping that Hurley... Fair question. I think he's hoping Hurley gets Bronny up to speed that he could be on his own 2 feet once LeBron retires. It's a really steep hill for Bronny.
If LeBron doesn't trust any other coach in the league, and let's just say he doesn't go to the Lakers, Bronny is not going to succeed anywhere.
Bronny's not going anywhere else.
Nowhere else. The Suns have worked him out. There's no chance he doesn't go to any team but the Lakers.
I find it hard to believe. Maybe we'll see you on draft night.
I think a bigger factor, honestly, with Hurley, besides the developmental thing, like the guy knows how to run offensive plays. And if you watch the Lakers last year, they're sorely in need of that. So I think Bronny, because he tweeted about how good the actions were on the offense, like LeBron is probably like, oh man, let's get some of that so we can get some easier baskets so I don't have to score 30 points a game. I mean, I'm not saying that doesn't mean that he doesn't want to develop Bronny, but I think he likes Hurley as a coach, and he should. Why, if you had a choice between Dan Hurley, who's done it, and J.J.
Redick, it's not even a question.
Who helps you win now? I think Dan Hurley's the answer there as well. Aside from just the developmental stuff.
That's why I think both things can be true. My theory can be true that LeBron James has all control of this coaching hire, and Dan Hurley could be the right coach. Both things can be true there.
Yeah.
LeBron could have, they could have zeroed in and found a willing coach in Hurley where all the stars can align here. But I just cannot be sold that this is about Anthony Davis and this is about anyone else and that LeBron just is sitting back at his mansion in Malibu with absolutely no say on this whatsoever. Like, you can't convince me of that.
Okay. I'm not going to try because it makes sense. But
you're going to tell me it's a single shooter per lot. It's just impossible.
Like, things aren't always a soap opera that they seem.
With LeBron, it's usually worse.
Sometimes there's just a random dude in an office saying, hey, have you guys thought about trying to call Danny Hurley?
Promote that man.
Yeah. It could be a lot of things. The fact that just ask Shams and Woj, they're going to report 9 different things in the next week.
That's what they want you to think.
Oh, my God.
The basketball glitterati.
That's why I said yesterday, I pray to God that the Atlanta Hawks draft Bronny James just so we can kill some of your conspiracy theory.
No, I got a theory
around
that one, too.
Oh,
has headlines of everything else that happened recently. What's up?
You may remember, Maggie, that some NBA pundits couldn't figure out how the Celtics would guard Luka and Kyrie. They shrugged and suggested Sam Hauser. Joe Mazzulla and his staff had other plans, which worked last night. The Mavericks never scored 25 points in a quarter. They managed just 9 assists in game 1 of the finals, taking a 107-89 beating in Boston last night. Here's Jason Kidd.
Give the Celtics credit. They did a great job tonight defending, making it tough on us. We had some good looks that didn't go down. We got to move the ball. The ball just stuck too much. And we'll be better in game 2.
Which is Sunday night still in Boston. The Mavs only hit 7 threes last night. Kyrie Irving missed 13 of 19 shots. Doncic did score 30, but it took 26 shots. And he only had 1 assist. The Celtics took control with a 25-9 run to end the first quarter. They led by 21 at the half, and then the Mavs got as close as 8 in the third. They responded with a 14-0 run. Now their head coach, Joe Mazzulla.
They have a tendency to go on great runs, and you know, that's going to happen. And so you have to be able to manage those with poise and execution, know why those runs are being made, and quickly put a stop to them with high-level execution.
Jaylen Brown led 6 Celtics in double figures with 22. Kristaps Porzingis had 26 boards, 3 blocks, and 20 minutes in his first game in 5-plus weeks thanks to that calf injury. The Cincinnati Reds' 5th straight win included a 3-run homer from
Ella de la Cruz.
They beat the Cubs 8-4. The Padres on a 5-game skid after a 4-3 home loss to the Diamondbacks. The Braves rallied for a 5-2 win in Washington. And the Red Sox beat up the White Sox 14-2. That's a franchise-worst 14 straight loss for Chicago Sox. They are 15-48 overall.
My offer still stands.
And they still say no thanks. Meanwhile, Boomer Sooner once again.
Here's the windup. The 1-2 coming to Stewart. Swinging a ground ball into third. Brito backhands, throws the first. In time! It's over! The four-peat is complete! Oklahoma beats Texas 8-4. They sweep the series, and the Oklahoma Sooners are the first team ever to win four straight softball national championships.
Ryan Radke saying it all on Westwood One. This is Oklahoma's eighth softball title overall, tying them for second most all-time, four behind UCLA.
Bogus and I were really disappointed there was a little more drama in that series.
I could tell. I know.
Yeah, we came in this morning like, oh man, another not that close game. Because we were so psyched for some dramatic softball. Didn't happen.
Although Texas did score first last night, right? And then still they couldn't hold on.
You know, I actually forgot it was on because I was watching the finals. And then I tuned like that. Then the Celtics went way up or so. I don't even remember how I did it. But then SportsCenter after the game led with this like 3 minutes of the softball game. Because softball, it's a classic example. If ESPN wants to push the sport to me, they're going to succeed. Mm. I mean, softball has been in my face for so long now. I don't know what I'm going to watch tonight.
I mean, I got home yesterday at like 8:07. It's like, oh, I still got 20 minutes for the NBA game. What am I going to do? I'm like, oh, softball's
why did you text me, dude?
I did text about Sam Hauser, though.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Sam Hauser became a point of contention on the show, and then he came out and looked like the best player to ever suit up in the NBA.
By the way, Bogus
next to Porzingis, of course.
Maggie, Bogus will rarely text a night, but when he does, it's a gem.
It is good.
It's so exciting. I
just
get so
Hauser
excited.
Exclamation point. Like, I knew it was coming.
And the night before was softball exclamation point. Yeah, apparently there's a pattern.
Yeah, I always, I get really excited when Bogus bothers to text us at night. It's always something good. It's making fun of one of us subtly.
Definitely. Yeah.
I was thrilled last night for our little 9-text thread about Sam Hauser getting hot. He, by the way, Eddie played Luka a couple times.
Yeah.
Hung in there.
And the night before, Maggie made a great softball reference because she is secretly paying attention. She would admit it because she doesn't want to seem as nerdy as us, but she's watching.
No, this is because apparently, according to the internet, I don't support women's sports.
Yeah, like, I noticed that, Maggie. It's a weird...
that's an interesting position for people to take about me. But
I don't even consider it. Like, forget it. I don't want to do the women's versus men's sport. Softball is just awesome because the fielders are right on top of it. Oh, it's the best
sport. Wait, I just want to point something out. So Perloff will acknowledge, right, that he will watch essentially whatever ESPN's putting on at night you're going to watch. But you're so adamantly anti-Olympics. And I don't get where this – you'll get into softball – I'm like, you said to me the other day, you're like, I'm taking vacation mercifully during the Olympics. I'm like, why don't you like the Olympics? It's the same thing. It's just watching a random sport.
It's the most hypocritical thing, though. It's like presented as this like high flying, like, oh my gosh, it's the most commercial crap. Like, it's just giant, it's a gigantic advertisement.
Big fraud.
It's right.
We're watching the NBA finals. That's all commercialized too.
With a huge fraud committee. Yeah, it's garbage.
Oh, so you guys just don't like the politics of this. It's not the sport.
I would know. I mean, I enjoy watching certain sports. Like, my family loves gymnastics. Gymnastics is awesome. But generally, the whole idea, like, the idea of the Olympics being this noble thing, that bothers me.
Got it.
That went away 100 years ago.
Maybe more than that. When did the ancient Greeks invent this
That's
thing?
That's right.
It's probably corrupt then.
Yeah, was it the last one in China? I don't even want to get into that.
It was in Japan.
All right, so I mean, that stuff sucks, but like when Katie Ledecky swims, you can't just enjoy her being ridiculous in the pool. Oh, no, you don't like swimming, that's right, because it's only like four people competing. Yeah, is that a big enough pool of talents? Yes.
It's a major problem with swimming.
No, my take was swimming? Michael Phelps won more gold medals than ever because he just basically got 7 gold medals for doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Where Usain Bolt could just run, gets 1 gold medal. Okay.
Relays?
Nothing good can come out of me being here for Olympic week. It's like, it's good for everybody that I'm gone. Like, let America enjoy it. And
you're just scoffing
young
at vacation.
EJ, who's not here, EJ Stewart, our executive producer, who's in London, acts like the Redeem Team is a thing. And that drives me crazy.
Because he wasn't born in 92.
Yeah,
that's all he's got.
He's like, yeah, I mean, a basketball spreads around the country because of the Dream Team and the Redeem Team. I mean, like, and the what?
He was fighting for Jalen Brunson. Yeah. I mean, like, I want him to rest. Listen, go to the Olympics.
If I hear EJ say, I'll always remember when Barkley elbowed the guy from Angola, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
No chance.
Because he saw it in a documentary one time in between X-Men cartoons.
The other day, he said, what about Game 5? And he goes, how do you know about Game 5? He's like, I saw it in The Last Dance.
Yeah, no. I'll never forget Barkley in Game 5. You weren't there to know in the first place.
But actually, EJ's comeback was pretty good. I'll give him credit for that.
It was good. He knows his stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No. I was like, oh, man, that was a great point.
DiMaggio's hit streak. What a time.
Bobby Thompson.
Giants win the bet.
I'll always remember where I was.
Bob Wolf on the call.
He couldn't have understood the magic.
Remember when Babe pointed, et cetera?
Yeah.
I thought it was at me.
Right. I was getting a hot dog.
Oh, man. All right. Thank you, Bogish. Coming up, we take a break from our LeBron coaching updates to talk about the Cowboys. Don't move. We interrupt the Dan Hurley to the Lakers to give you an update on the Dallas Cowboys. So Mike McCarthy, Perloff, was speaking to the media. This was yesterday, and he was asked about Dak Prescott's offseason.
I think Dak's having his best offseason program that we've had, and he hasn't. And he's had really good offseason programs the whole time. So I think this atmosphere that we practice in, the receivers and the quarterback have really hit the mark. I'm very, very impressed with the quality of work.
Okay, so that is Dak Prescott, the assessment there from Mike McCarthy, rather. And Dak was runner-up to MVP last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's hard to believe that he can even get much better. I thought we saw the ceiling of Prescott last season.
Yeah, I all of a sudden, on a dime, have changed my opinion on what the Cowboys are going to do next year. Because I assumed Dak would struggle because Jerry Jones came out and said, we're all in, and then they did the exact opposite. They spent less money than any team in the NFL this offseason. And they didn't support. Last year, you found out in the playoff game, if you don't throw to CeeDee Lamb, you're in big trouble. So I didn't think the weapons were around him, but it doesn't seem to be bothering him. Maybe he's going to put up another big statistical season, and they're going to have to pay him even more money.
Okay, so that's always what's floating around here is the contract. And if you want to read between the lines a little bit, I don't think it'd be unfair to connect a few dots that maybe Mike McCarthy is really trying to pump up Dak Prescott, not just because he's the quarterback of the Cowboys and because he gets a lot of criticism, sometimes unfairly, but because he wants to make sure Dak gets a contract extension. Maybe McCarthy is trying to show a lot of public support for Prescott because he realizes he's in this sort of tenuous situation, which McCarthy himself is in. He's in a contract year.
Or maybe Dak just looks good in minicamp. You could tell, too, by the way, I think coaches know when a quarterback is on point when he gets there, right? Like, they just... That's what we forget. Like, Brock Purdy got the Niners job, and apparently they had been watching him in practice just dominate. Maybe Dak just looks great and focused. I actually thought that thing, the legal situation, was going to bother Dak or the contract.
Like,
talk about a guy who's vulnerable to distractions. It would be Dak Prescott right now. So I tend to read it more just simple that, okay, he doesn't look distracted. He's ready to go. He looks like he's in good shape. So I actually might draft him in my fantasy league. I'm all about Dak right now.
That's your Cowboy quickie for you on this Friday. You don't think we'd forget about the Cowboys.
Do you think that Dak re-signing would help Mike McCarthy keep his job? Is there a connection here?
I could see one because it would have that run it back feel as opposed to if you
changing
quarterbacks, maybe you change coaches. But the whole thing about Mike McCarthy is he's great with quarterbacks. Is that was kind of the big... That's kind of how he made a name for himself in this
Mike
league.
McCarthy.
Yeah, 2008.
I'm just saying. And he's a good play caller. He makes a lot of silly mistakes. Mike McCarthy is not a perfect coach by any stretch. But offense is good.
Yeah, because he ran out of steam in Green Bay for a bunch of reasons.
Yeah, he got conservative.
But also he doesn't really love to run the ball, which is a bit off-brand for what the Cowboys want to do, but now they don't have any running back, so it all makes sense. I do like that theory. You're right. If they cut Dak, they're definitely getting a new coach. So he's kind of tied to him. But I also believe, Dak is probably going to be pretty good this year. One thing, obviously, he's 31. Can he stay healthy? But they could ball out and be 12-5 again and get, killed in the first round.
and then we do this contract thing all next year.
I think, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results? Pencil them in, 12-5. Let's go.
Major Mike expectations McCarty. For one person and team. We get to that next. It's Maggie and Perloff on this Friday, Infinity Sportsnet.
Oh, shoot.